From the first casualty of the Cold War to the passing of Senator John McCain, this is Father Voskin, inviting you to join us today as we connect the dots between those events as well as our spiritual, our psychological, our physical worlds, and look at life through one of the most ancient of all Christian traditions, namely Armenian Orthodoxy. This is number 534 of The Next Step. If you're ready, I know I am. Let's take The Next Step now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Voskin. Here, Father Voskin provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, to disenfranchise members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Several years ago, I came up with this definition for blessing. And the more I think about it, and as life throws its many, many curveballs at me, I realize how to the point it is. And it really, really does work. I was challenged by a fellow priest who he was just studying, and he had a question. What is a blessing? What does it mean when you say blessings? May God bless you. What is a blessing? How is that transferred? What is that supposed to mean? And I thought about it. I meditated about it, actually. And not a regular meditation, rather a sporadic meditation that would pop up every so often. In fact, when I'd read that word blessing, I'd think about it, and it would get my mind going. And I came up with this small little definition, and let me share it with you. I have in the past, but let me give it out to you again because it plays into what we're going to be talking about today. A blessing is luck without the element of chance. Does that work for you? A blessing is luck, but luck comes with chance, right? There's a chance that you'll be lucky. You know, it's a chance. A blessing is that same luck. It's luck, but without the element of chance. In other words, it's a given. There it is. A blessing. And so this week, as I'm putting together today's show, I've got a bunch of different stories, a few different topics I want to hit. All of a sudden, it occurs to me that, you know, we're talking about blessings. Things that happen. Things that just take place. You would ordinarily think these are luck, but there's no chance involved in these. They just happen. And you know they're going to happen. For instance, today I wanted to share with you the story about why I'm going to Nebraska. Yes, Nebraska! Near Omaha, there is a town called Bellevue. I'm going to be there this Sunday. I'm going to Nebraska. And what am I going to be doing over there? Yeah, I know people come up to me. Oh, are there Armenians in Nebraska? No. This isn't about Armenians. No. In Nebraska, we're going to be commemorating an event that took place 60 years ago to the date, September 2nd, 1958. An episode, an incident from the Cold War between the Soviet Union and the United States. An episode that took place when United States planes took off from their base in Turkey and were shot down by the Soviet planes. And this plane crashed in a region near Leninagan, which is today's Gyumri, but in a town called Sasnashen. Yeah, Sasnashen. Now, I'm going to share with you that story, but it's interesting because as I started off today's show. I gotta footnote these things are just like they just come together. It's so wild, okay? So I'm sitting here and I'm saying, okay, where was that quote about blessings? I wanted to get the quote down. Yeah. It's been a while since I've visited that quote. So I remembered that I had published that. I had published this back in 2012 during the celebration of my 30th anniversary as a priest. We had a gathering and I said, I would like to take a trip around the sun. One year, I promised that I would put up a statement. I would put up a quote. I would put up an inspiration, things that have inspired me. For one year, one a day, as we went around the earth, around the sun. Yeah, no, I'm not, don't write to me. No, I've heard of Galileo, Copernicus, and all that. Yeah, I know we go around the sun, okay? Don't write to me. I know that. So, one year, once around the sun, and we called it a sun sash. And I got the quote. The sun sash quote. It was number 349. I had published it. It was one of the inspirations about blessing. And I'm writing it down, sun sash. And then I noticed that, where did this story that I'm going to tell you about in Nebraska, it has its roots in Sasnashen. Now, I know it. Yeah, I know. It's a different word. But you know what? It's the same letters. Sunsash, Sasnashen. I mean, it's pretty wild when you think about it, okay? But let's stop right there, okay? I know this is getting a little spooky, okay? Let's get to the facts right now, okay? Because I'm going to tell you about why I'm going to Nebraska, what's going on in Nebraska, how I fit in, how does Armadoxy fit in, what we're going to be doing, and then on top of that, we're going to be talking also about, well, a big statesman that passed away this week, namely John McCain. And I got to be honest with you, really honest, I'll confess, okay? I would not have done this ordinarily, but I'm intrigued that the entire United States, everybody, I don't know how it is and how you're getting your news, those of you who are listening in other countries, but here in the United States, literally, America has stopped for the last few days. Our attention and our focus and the news, everything has been geared towards John McCain. Truly a great statesman, somebody who extended himself, as is witnessed by the funeral service that they're offering. You know who's talking at his funeral service? His two biggest opponents. At his request, he's asked for former President George Bush, who he ran against during a primary, and former President Barack Obama, who was his prime competitor. His prime, I don't want to say opponent, but prime competitor in the race for the presidency. And McCain lost, and now President Obama is going to be speaking. And I want to just share, I want to connect all these dots. It's amazing how we connect. It's beyond luck. It is really a blessing because it's the blessing of life. But let me back up right now, and I'm going to talk about a place called Sasnashen. Sasnashen is in Armenia. And what happened back in 1958, you got to remember the Cold War was a phenomena that took place after World War II. Remember, during World War II, the United States and the Soviet Union were allies. They fought against the Axis powers, namely Germany, Italy, Japan. The United States and the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, USSR, along with all of the Allied powers, France, England, we fought against the Axis powers. So we were allies during World War II. After World War II, and especially after the dropping of the atomic bomb, atomic energy, making sure that we had leashes on that energy, what happened is the Cold War developed. And I'm not going to get into the whole dynamics of the Cold War oodles of articles and books have been written about the Cold War, and I really, really recommend that you take a look at it because it was an interesting time in life. I think there is a Cold War going on right now, but this was different, and it took place until the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991. Now, about a decade into the Cold War, the first casualty. This was a plane that took off from an air base, a United States Air Force plane, took off from an Air Force base in Turkey, namely around the area of Van. It took off and it got frightfully close to the Soviet border and it was shot down by Soviet planes. And the plane crash-landed in a village called Sasnashen, which is very close to what was then called Leninagan. Today it is the town of Gyumri. And so Sasnashen, this small little town. I'm going to go through the story, and I'm going to put an entire link on today's show notes, and I highly recommend that you read the links that I put on the show notes, especially to the stories that are involved in this. But basically, in a nutshell, this plane came down, the villagers in that town saw it, were a witness, and of course there was the big cover-up, the Soviets, who said that at first it was an accident. It was an accident that took place, that they weren't traveling right, and they plowed into a mountain. Later on, it became evident that it was shot down. Later on, after the collapse of the Soviet Union, the classified information came out. And 17 men lost their lives in this first casualty of the Cold War, and it was in Armenia, in Sasnashen. Now, fast forward to 1997, 1998. This is like about 40 years after the event. This is, of course, after the collapse of the Soviet Union, 1991. Armenia gets its independence. All kinds of things happen, and there's all kinds of political activity going on. And these villagers, there's a khachkar there. I believe it was in 1993. They commemorated the 35th anniversary of the shoot-down, and they unveiled the khachkar, 1993. This is like 2 years after independence. Okay, give us a little independence, and we're going to do the right thing. Okay, they put up a khachkar. Khachkar literally means cross stone. It is a stone that has engraved on it an Armenian cross, and it has been the symbol of resurrection. It has been the symbol of victory, and this is what was constructed over there. And the guy who did this was a guy named Gagosian. Now, he was a sculptor, and he also happened to be an eyewitness to the shoot down. So all these things are taking place. They come together in 1997, 1998, on the 40th anniversary. People are going out there and seeing it, and people are visiting. Here's an interesting story. Let me see if I could piece together the bits and pieces over here. A guy named Robert Oshinsky was shot down, one of the 17 men who was shot down in 1958 during this first episode, first casualties of the Cold War. Robert Oshinsky. Now, out of the 17 people, you know, there was only 4 corpses that were identified. The other families had to live until these documents and this information was released, had to live with uncertainty, without closure, let's say it that way, without closure, until the collapse of the Soviet Union, until people could put this together. But Robert Oshinsky, I think it was 2011 when some villagers found a ring that belonged to Robert Oshinsky, and his survivors, his family, came out to Armenia, and that ring was delivered. I mean, so many touching stories. People from all around coming together, people who ordinarily wouldn't mix are mixing. And that's, I think, the biggest message that I want to give you. When I talk about blessings, when I talk about without the element of chance, take a look at all of the all of the facts in this case. This plane, the United States Air Force plane, takes off from Van, Turkey. Well, what is Van, Turkey? Van, Turkey is Armenia. Takes off from Armenia, but we don't have any control over it, do we? Armenians don't have absolutely zero control over it. It is a Turkish base, and the United States is going into it. So Armenians are kind of peripherally on the sidelines. We're included over there, right? It is shot down, and it lands where? Again, in Armenia, but Armenians don't have control over that. It's the Soviet Union. Who shoots it down? The Soviets shoot it down, but it lands, it crashes in Armenia. Sasnashen. What shoots it down? MiG-17s. What is a MiG? Migoyan. Planes named after Migoyan, after an Armenian inventor of these planes. Migoyan. A MiG-17 shoots it down. Again, the Armenian involvement, somehow, right? The connection. But what is that connection? Well, it's a connection that shouldn't be there, but it is, okay? And maybe that's a blessing. Maybe that's the blessing. Larry Tart, there is a link on today's show notes to his website. He's a man who has been staying vigilant. During the past 2 months, I've gotten to know him through several correspondence, emails back and forth. He's the one who's setting up this event this coming Sunday and has been vigilant. In fact, he has a book, and that'll be on our show notes as well. Do check it out. He talks about the importance of staying vigilant, because when you stay vigilant, what happens is you have that unique vantage point of all the dots connecting, and you see that there is a bigger picture. You know, that's a metaphor that I use all the time about dots connecting. Well, have you ever thought what that means? Why would you want dots to connect? Because when you connect the dots, you see the picture, right? I'm sure you've done those connect the dots things. Well, I give you some absolute historical dots that we have an opportunity to connect. Listen, this morning, I was listening to Astounding Universe, and I will put a link on our show notes to that one as well. It's a fascinating little podcast. It's usually 5 to 10 minutes long, and it comes out every few days. Jim Metzner and Bob Berman, you've heard them, doing their own separate show. But they do this unique one called Astounding Universe. They talked about Amos Dolbear. Who is Amos Dolbear, you say? Well, many naturalists would know him, right? He's what's called the cricket calculator, right? You've heard this. If you've done any kind of outdoor work, you know that crickets, they chirp, right? They knock their knees together. They chirp. Well, Amos Dolbear, his claim to fame, is something that should have been huge, but it's not. Instead, his claim to fame is he's figured out. Back in 1897, he wrote a piece, and it's still true till to this day. You count the number of chirps in 14 seconds, and you add 40 to it. The number of chirps a cricket makes in 14 seconds and add 40 to it gives you the temperature in Fahrenheit of any place you're at. Outside, inside, wherever you are. Listen to the chirps of the cricket. In 14 seconds, how many do they make? They make 37 of them. Add 40 to it. The temperature is 77. That's how simple it is. But here's the astonishing thing. Here's the absolute remarkable thing. Amos Dolbear was not just some guy out there, who just stumbled on him. He was truly what I would call the blessing, right? He was a professor at Tufts University. He was a guy, get ready for this, I'm not making this up, that almost you would have known about. Because before Edison invented the light bulb, Amos Dolbear had. Before Alexander Graham Bell had invented the telephone. Amos Dolbear had an actual prototype of it, had a working telephone. Before Marconi invented the radio, Amos Dolbear had it. And Scientific American has said, if not for his lack of skill with the patent office formalities, we would all know the truth. We would all think of him as a person who invented all of the important technologies of that time, namely radio, the light bulb, and telephone. You don't believe this? Check it out, okay? There'll be a link on today's show notes. Amos Dolbear. Wrong place, wrong time. Didn't have the skills. He didn't patent the stuff. So what he gets remembered for is the cricket chirping. But here was a guy, truly a genius, invented the light bulb before Edison, invented the phone before Bell, and the radio before Marconi. And I'm not talking about a few days before. In fact, it says as much as 11 years before. Check out the show notes today. It'll be on there. It'll be a name that you need to remember. Because I think in so much of our lives, we realize that, yes, there is an element of luck, but there is also what is called a blessing. And the blessing is to be at those right places, to be at those right moments. And sometimes they don't fit. Sometimes they are disconnected dots. But when you start connecting one dot with the other, you see a beautiful picture, a picture of blessing, of God working in this world. And I feel that really, by being vigilant, this is what's happening. This has been my blessing this past summer, to be in correspondence with these people, with this beautiful story that is the ultimate of tragedies. Young men flying a plane, unarmed plane, being shot down, 17 men dying and being covered up for 39 years, and slowly a process, and all of a sudden building up to a place where this Armenian priest is now going out to a place in Nebraska to share in a blessing and a thought. And I have the ability to share that message because I'm going to not only do it with you, my listeners, I'm going to be doing it with writing. And hopefully people will start seeing that there is really the ultimate connection of dots, a connection to life. It all connects. It all fits. And you see that giant picture. Think about that for a few moments, okay? We're going to take a break. We listen to a song because I love music and I love playing something that kind of like changes, gives us a chance to change topics and move around. Although, given in the context of connecting dots, there is no changing of topics, is there, right? You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, we will do a special number dedicated to Gyumri because that's where all of this is taking place, this Sasnashen incident and Cold War. Gyumri, it is a beautiful land, and I had a choice of sharing a few different songs, including a couple from Jivan Kasparian, as well as the Karavabar dance of Gyumri, but I selected, you can't blame me, right? I'm old school, okay? I found a song called Gyumri by Ruben Matevosyan, singing it, one of my favorite, all-time favorite voices, doing this beautiful rendition of Gyumri, talks about the land, talks about the mountains over there, and I have a reference on here that this was conducted by Father Oshagan Minasyan, in which case it would be the Yerevan Chamber Orchestra, Chamber Choir, excuse me. And I'll try to find some links to it if we can, but if not, here it is. Enjoy.
Hayastani agnes Gyumri, tu khoskashen saramin, Çeşmar tutyana balan eski umri Duymastun mi yami Ahçik nerattan arare Anma hutyan ararat Dıgan eratçin arare Zatar kayada Voske tagne kogi Kome karnele
Yerevan Choral Society, led by Father Oshagan Minasyan, a blessed memory, performing Gyumri. Gyumri, just as the name suggests. That, of course, the brilliant voice of Rupen Matevosyan. And like I said, I'm old school. I had to play him. And we were talking about Gyumri. We're talking about Sasna Shen, about the beautiful Arakats Mountains out there. And this just conjures up all of those beautiful visions. Arakas Mountains, let me just share with you that too. If you haven't seen them, you need to see them just as much as you need to see Mount Ararat. Mount Ararat, of course, on one side of beautiful Yerevan, the capital of Armenia, The Arakas Mountains are on the other side. You can see them on a clear day. You could see forever, and you certainly can see these beautiful slopes, these beautiful mountains. And it's in that direction that Gyumri is found. Ruben Montavocian sings about it in this beautiful song. I hope you enjoyed it. I don't think we're going to have a link on today's show notes. It just doesn't look like we've got a link. But if we do find it by the time we publish, definitely it'll be on. This week marked the passing of Senator John McCain just a few days ago. And since his passing, I've got to tell you that America has really stopped, is listening, is profoundly affected by this statesman, by this senator who went on the national level. He ran against Obama for president. He selected Sarah Palin as his running mate. All kinds of mockery, laughter, and he had the one extra additional talent of being able to have humor in his life and be able to take the position seriously but not take himself seriously. And I wanted to share some thoughts, even though he is a politician and this is a religious, a spiritual podcast. There is a connect the dots here for sure. It's interesting because tomorrow I'm going to be doing a podcast. I'm going to be appearing on another podcast. And when I asked what's it about, and when they first approached me and asked me to be on it, I inquired what's it about, and they gave me just a basic outline of what they want to talk about, and they said, we stay away from politics and religion. And I think that's an interesting one, right? If you don't want to have any fights, you stay away from politics and religion. It's certainly not the conversation that you should have at any sophisticated event, namely dinner parties, where you want to get through the entire dinner without being poisoned. You stay away from these topics, politics and religion. And in fact, if you listen to talk radio, they center on politics and religion. Why? Because they know that it'll give them the best bang for their buck. They will have people following him. So I do not particularly want to talk about politicians, but in this case, I think that there is such an incredible standstill here in America. People are just standing still for a few moments and reflecting upon this senator. And, you know, he went on. There's a beautiful little clip that they keep playing over and over. He was running against Obama in 2008 for president. And as is so often the case when two opponents will face off, there's also negative campaigning. Negative campaigning is where I don't tell you what I'm going to do. I tell you what the other guy's not going to do. And I will tell you not about my strengths. I will tell you about my opponent's weaknesses. And there is this moment in his campaign where a woman gets up and starts knocking Obama as being this way or that way. And presidential candidate McCain stands up and says, no, he's not that person. He's a decent man. He's a father. He's a husband. And he loves America. He just doesn't see it the way I do. And in that brief statement, I think he takes in so much of what the beauty of America was. In other words, we may not see eye to eye. We may differ in our opinions, but we are all one as Americans. And I did say what America was, because unfortunately, we've lost that right now. Right now, there is a terrible divide. There is almost like an epidemic where you cannot speak without being accused of partisan politics. I shared this with you last week. If you remember, we talked about the idea of courtesy. We developed it even further in our Bible study. In Armenian, we have the word karakavar. Karakavar means to varel, means to direct, to steer. Karak the city, to steer towards to the city. It's the same word as civilized, right? To go towards the civilized world. And, you know, because why? Because in the city, that's where you would have more civility, so to speak. Or so we thought, right? Not anymore. Kalkabar meant polite. In one word, it means polite. And that word is derived by steering towards the city. In the city, you would find people of education, people of background, people of understanding and tolerance. Not anymore. Not anymore. And it's truly a sad reality we're living in right now. Because without that tolerance, without that respect towards one another, what happens? We don't have an opportunity to dialogue. We don't have an opportunity to talk, to share, because I don't respect you. You don't respect me. If you remember last week, I was sharing with you that we have probably one of the greatest tools, and it's right at the tip of our fingertips. If you don't like what I'm saying, you don't have to agree with me. You could turn me off, right? You could turn me off. You can engage in a dialogue with me, but if I'm upsetting you, turn me off. And if enough people turn you off, what happens? You're no longer viable. Nobody's listening to you. It's a beautiful system. It's called the boycott system. You don't like something, you boycott it, you stop it. If enough people boycott it, it will be brought to its knees. Think about what Martin Luther King Jr. did. The big boycott, the bus boycott. It took over a year, but they got people to stop taking the buses. They would walk everywhere. And what happened? Enough people, you hit the point of critical mass. Enough people didn't ride the buses. The bus companies didn't make their money. They were forced to deal with the issues at hand. I've shared this with you in the past. People who complain to me about churches. One thing about the churches, if you don't go, they won't be supported, right? So if there's something you don't like about particular, you don't like me, hey, turn me off, right? If enough people turn me off, I don't have an audience, I'm not there, and I'm finished. It's over, right? You voted. You voted. You boycotted. You voted. It's the same way. Don't argue about it. Do something about it. And this is what's happening right now. People are arguing and senselessly arguing. We get on social media and we just blast one another, and we go after personal features, personal stories about the individual, rather than dealing with what they are talking about. Namely, we're not talking about the issues, we're talking about the individuals. And today, as McCain was being eulogized by former Vice President Joe Biden, an interesting topic came up in Biden's talk. He says, look, I've been thinking this week about why John's death hit the country so hard. Yes, he was a long-serving senator with a remarkable record. Yes, he was a two-time presidential candidate who captured the support and imagination of the American people. And yes, John was a war hero, demonstrated extraordinary courage. Now, I should mention here that one of the other reasons why Biden was so fond of McCain was McCain died of brain cancer. It was the same cancer that took away Biden's son. It was the same cancer that took away the life of Teddy Kennedy. And, you know, as much as we talk about that these people, the way they stood up and they fought this disease, it's easy to get taken away. And this is why I think this is so important, this kind of talk. It's easy to be taken away by the way they died, the dignity with which they died, that you forget about the way they lived. And certainly McCain was a man who lived in a unique way, as were the others, as was Kennedy. And so Biden continues by saying, I think of John and my son when I think of Ingersoll's words, when duty throws the gauntlet down to fate and honor, scores to compromise with death, that is heroism. Everybody knows that about John, but I don't think it fully explains why the country has been so taken by John's passing. I think it's something more tangible. Now, Biden, this is the question I want to say. Why is the country stopping? This man was not a president. Certainly there were higher people that have passed away, and we haven't given the homage. We haven't given this kind of respect and this kind of attention to other people. But John McCain is getting it. And so Biden asks this rhetorical question, why are we standing still? Why are we paying attention? And he goes ahead and he answers, I want to add to it because I'm sure Biden knew that there was more to it than this. And I think it needs to be said. It's just like the brain cancer. And that's the cause over there. You need to be able to say what the problem is. Biden says, I think it's because they knew John believed so deeply and so passionately in the soul of America. He made it easier for them to have confidence and faith in America. His faith in the core values of this nation made them somehow feel it more genuinely themselves. Now, this may be the case why we're all standing still and paying attention to John McCain, but I think also it needs to be said because America and most of the world has really gotten in the other direction, where there isn't reverence for life, there isn't reverence and dignity for thought, to be able to look at somebody and say, I disagree with you, but I still care about you. You are still a human being, that you are still somebody that is entitled to those opinions. And I think this is the reality that we are fighting against. The reason why we're standing still, listening and following a McCain in his death to see what he had to offer this world is because we're not finding it. We're not finding it in the politics, definitely in the political leadership that is running this country, and ultimately it has repercussions throughout the world. I shared this with you a few months ago when Roseanne Barr, I personally have absolutely no love for her as a performer and could care less if her show is renewed. Like I said, at the time when her show was taken off the air because she made some offensive remarks, personal remarks, when she made those offensive remarks, her show was taken off. And people said, oh, poor Roseanne. Well, you know, poor Roseanne is not as poor as you might think. Instead of making $20 million that year, she might make $15 million. But she definitely is not poor old Roseanne. Everybody knows what they're doing. But she thought she could get away with it. Why? Being offensive. Being a loudmouth. Well, if the president's doing it, you can do it. Well, unfortunately, there's different standards and different weights and measures. And so when the president does it and he gets away with it, that doesn't necessarily mean that you can get away with it. The basic respect that we need to have towards one another is really demanded. It's something that has been that is part of civilized society. I remember a few years ago, I was invited to a class session at GCC by this Armenian atheist who was thinking that he was going to put me down, and he takes me into the classroom. And there in the classroom setting with 70 people in attendance, he makes the point that, hey, look, you know, you guys are stupid because if you were true Armenians, you would uphold your language because there are 70 people here. Five of them are not Armenian. There was an African-American man. There was an Asian man there. There was five people that were not Armenian. And so this other man who was presenting opposite me, he makes the point that we are weak. We are weak because because we are not speaking the language of the majority, namely the Armenian. We are embarrassed. And to which I turned and said, it's not a question of weakness. It's a question about being civilized, right? Kavar, to gear towards the city, to be civilized, polite. That politeness has us looking, has us inspecting the circumstances. Yes, there are 70 people. We happen to be in an American college in the United States of America. The prime language of that classroom is English. And out of respect and politeness for others, you speak the one common language that everyone understands. not just 65 out of the 70. And that's just common politeness. It's not us showing our weakness, but it's just to be respectful towards other people. And this kind of respect, I think, is what McCain was all about. I think that's why America is stopping. I think that's what we're looking for, and that's what people are searching for. Connect the dots with what we were saying earlier about the opportunities that are given to us, whether it's a door that opens up in Nebraska or an opportunity for us to reflect on a life that was lived and lived with dignity and respect. These are all opportunities for us to reach out towards self-improvement, to improve ourselves so that we can better live in harmony with one another. And isn't that what it's all about? Isn't that what religion is all about? Isn't that what our faith is all about? It's the ability to live, to respect, to be able to live in fellowship, live in harmony, and ultimately seek the peace. That's what I think, under all circumstances, Jesus was about. And that's why, when you ask me, I don't shy away from talking about religion, politics, because to me, there are all these dots that are out there that just are waiting for us to connect. And once we connect, we see that religion, politics, they're all part of the same equation as everything else. It's the attitudes that we have. It's the way we live, the harmony that we have that's important. And that's certainly what these big categories, religion, politics, should be steering us towards, the ability to live in harmony, to seek that peace. I choose it through religion because I know the peace that we're seeking becomes a pure peace because it is one that is based on all of our souls working together. Sunsash, Sasnashen, Nebraska, Cold War, McCain, living in harmony, connecting the dots. It all comes together, doesn't it? Let's take a break right now and let Susie make her announcements. I'll be back in a couple moments to give you the parting shots and tell you where we're at.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you all for listening and for sharing your ideas, your blessings, and your prayers with us. We really, really appreciate the support. And I want to tell you where I'm going to be this week. Let's see, tomorrow I'm going to be doing a podcast for the Thriving Life Club. And I don't know what it's about, but I will definitely put a link on today's show notes to this podcast. You could check it out. And hopefully I'll be on it. I don't know if they record and play later or if it's going to be a live podcast. Really, I have no idea, but just excited to do it because it sounds decent, right? The Thriving Life Club. Anyway, that takes place tomorrow. Over the weekend, as I said, I'm going to be in Nebraska. This happens to be Labor Day weekend here in the United States. Very special holiday because it marks the end of summer, yes. But it also points to labor, whereas, this is quite different than the Laborer's Day, quite different than May 1st. This is about the actual labor that each of us goes through. So think about it. It's an opportunity to meditate. Yeah, I know it's an opportunity to have fun, but I think it's always important for self-evaluation, especially at times like this. Try to fight the urge to do what everyone else is doing. Find some quiet time. Meditate, contemplate. What are you working for? What are your labors about? What is so important about the things you do, and how does that all relate to the bigger plan about using your talents and sharing them with the rest of the world? So Bellevue, Nebraska is where we're heading this Sunday, and look forward to sharing with you what we discover and the beautiful stories that come out of that gathering next week with you here on The Next Step. We have a few other trips coming up, and also an Armenia trip coming up at the end of October. Looking forward to that. Just a lot of good things. You can follow us at all the usual places. We're on social media everywhere you look, and of course at the mothership inissues.org. Drop me a line at feedback@epostle.net. Epostle is easy to remember. It's apostle with an E. Apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So thank you all for following us today. Do check out our show notes where you get some more information about everything we talked about. On behalf of the wonderful crew who put today's show together, Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin doing a big shout out to my sister Sona and my son Vadajan celebrating birthdays. Happy birthday to them. And inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off, but I'm top with it.